This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants, 18+, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. This video is sponsored by Voxy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, and Jamie Lawler. Good evening, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. How are you? You good?
Absolutely fabulous, mate, after such an amazing night of football last night. Yeah, of course, tonight we will be talking about that abysmal performance last night at St Andrews. Blues 0, Middlesbrough 1. Riley McGree, ex-Blues player, of course, he was bound to score, wasn't he? Terrific goal, can't take anything away from him, but really the whole performance and whole atmosphere has left the vast majority of the fan base feeling like the end of the world's about to happen. It's not going to be a very enjoyable one, to be honest, tonight. I really can't lie, we're in both in a bit of a upset type of mood, as it's very understandable. So Jamie, kick us off. What the fuck went on last night?
It was just a crock of dog shows, wasn't it? Let's pull the punches on this one. It was painful. It was awful. We lacked creativity. We lacked anything. From the third minute in, when Roberts played that back pass to Ruddy and he nearly put us in the bin at that moment, and I was like, it's going to be a shit night. It's going to be shit. And it just didn't materialise into anything, really. Like, I don't think we showed much fight at any point in the game, probably the last 5 minutes when we decided that actually we brought Duke on, so why don't we kick the ball long to him? Oh yeah, that might work. And it nearly did. You know, he got a few flick-ons, we nearly got through, but
yeah,
it had 0-0 written all over it, and it took a screamer to open it early, and that was it. It was from then. Middlesbrough didn't offer a vast amount of stuff. You know, I thought Ruddy did all right with what he had to do. You can't save that shot. And
no,
their keeper
might as well
just been in a fucking deck chair chilling for 95
minutes. Literally. Massive shout out to Edgy212 here, who's just given us a £9.99 donation. Massive appreciation for that, mate. We needed it after last night, really. but yeah, appreciate that, mate, a lot. That's fantastic. Welcome to everybody in the chat as well. Be sure to get your comments and suggestions. I always say suggestions, opinions into the chat, we'll be reading them out. Michael Harrison says, a lot of people seem to think going down and restarting would be good. Nothing good can come out of relegation. If anything, we will lose an entire generation of supporters who will say enough is enough. Spot on there, Michael, mate. I completely agree with you. I think the vast majority of the fan base also agree with you too. Because we've lost an entire generation, really, from the last time we got relegated. If we remained a Premier League team at that point in 2011, who knows what the fan base and what the club could have been like, you know. I can completely agree with all of that. You got a few people looking forward to us pulling a couple of punches, but also hello to Susan and Hartley and everybody in the chat as well. A couple of regulars, nice to have you back as usual. Wayne Merritt says going down will be an absolute disaster. Completely agree with you, mate. But yeah, let's start to dissect a few of the players and a few of the performances. I want to just say straight off the bat, that was the worst performance I've seen at the Blues for a long time. I can't really remember a worser game in such a short period of time. But we've had games where we've lost 6-1, like to Blackpool and everything. But it was more of an entertaining game, of course. We probably were just as shit, even though we did get a goal. But last night was like there was no entertainment value at all. I mean, that there was no reason of going. You know, it was a long journey for us down as well, obviously, because I obviously am in university at Preston. So getting the train down was long and expensive, and you know, and then to get into the ground and, you know, seeing it half empty and the players are pulling off terrible passes from the very start, it's all just worthless, really. And one thing I will, I'm not going to really dive into many of the players individually. I'm just mostly going to talk about the whole team performance, really. One thing that is starting to slightly irritate with me, really, is the fact that a lot of the players seem to be giving it the sort of the come on to the fans and all that. And while I completely understand why they want to be like that, because sometimes it can be motivation to some of the other players. And, you know, Ethan Laird did it, I think Bakuna did it, and someone else did it last night. I completely understand why they do it, and it's a good mentality to have sometimes to show that, you know, the players and the fans do have a connection. But I keep thinking to myself, and I am going to eventually say this now, is that what are you doing into really, what we, you know, if you can't give us what we want, why should we give you more atmosphere, more things like this? To put this into context, we've only won, is it 10 games all season? We're in this relegation scrap again. You know, we've had however long 2011 is now, 13 years of in the Championship. We've had one season where we finished in the playoffs or anywhere relatively close to the playoffs, you know. It's been like an absolute chore for us these past couple of years. And never mind just this season alone. Like, and that's why I get it with certain players when they sometimes want more from the crowd and everything. But it's Tuesday night. It's dark. It's cold-ish. You know, it's we've travelled a long way to get there. We've spent a lot of money week in, week out, you know. And Ethan Laird, who played absolutely shocking last night, is giving it all the hands up and everything, you know. Come on, give us a bit of it. It's just, oh, it's like, well, can't you give us something, you know? Because like, if you scored us a goal or created us a goal and got the ball into the box, then we can give you a little bit of that atmosphere. Then we can give you something to feel, you know, like we can go on and get a point or win the game or something. Not when you can't even play a single straight pass. Not when you can't even get the ball in the box. Not when you can't defend properly or they're just allowing the team to get around, allowing Middlesbrough to get around the pitch so easily. You know, it's like we're investing into the club. We're paying the money to go watch the game each week. You know, it's not really down to us really to make you win the games, you know. It might just be like a little bit of a pet peeve of mine, but that was starting to get on my nerves last night, and particularly for the people around me who, you know, I've got to have somewhat of a filter because obviously I'm, you know, studying to become a journalist and everything, and obviously I have a fan channel. But some people around me, they don't have a filter because they are just fans and they are losing their shit. It's simple as that. I don't know what people think in the comments think.
I would agree with everything you said. I was that guy last night. I was literally like, give me a fucking reason to give you a roar. Give me something. Don't just do that to me when you've lost the ball, for fuck's sake. Like, give me something. Go forward, drive the ball in the box, do whatever. Sick to death of... And to be fair to Laird, he got forward a couple of times last night. Went across the ball, he looked up and only Stansfield's in there. It's like, there's not... We're so scared of conceding that we're just not getting in the box, so... But then we can't fucking defend either. I don't see the next clean sheet and I don't see the next goal at the minute. It's just... There's just nothing. It's literal... And I'm trying to be a diehard positive. It's going to be okay, guys. But genuinely, last night was
in the longest time I remember. Just it's going incredibly worrying. Yeah,
fuck, we're going down. Like my head went, I think we're going down. You know, I was like,
because what worries me is in the past few seasons we've had teams that are kind of used to this environment. You know, people who are constantly getting on their backs. You know, Harley Dean, for example, is a perfect player for that. You know, he was constantly being scapegoated, or whether people think it was justified or not, whatever he was, you know, when it mattered, he performed and he got us out of those relegation battles. Granted, he put us into them because he was poor defending at times and so did the other players in the team, but he was still there to drag us out of it. When I look at this team, I personally feel, and people can disagree with me on this, but I personally feel that they're not used to that environment, and I don't think that they thrive well in it. I look at those individuals and think that they perform better when they're being praised and when they're being, you know, like the start of the season, for example, we were playing fantastically, but that's because there was a good bounce at the start of the season. We won a couple of games. We're really in the mood. You know, it's sunny. It was bright and everything. We had a new kit, new stadium pretty much. You know, it was like it's really good to be back home almost. And then the players, we're feeling the buzz off of that. But now we're playing slightly, now we're playing worse. And now we are in a position where we really need some wins. It just looks like to me, and people might put this down to, you know, manager changeovers and everything, and maybe Venus isn't quite the leader they need or anything. They don't look comfortable with it. They look like they're sort of shrinking because of it. Do you know what I mean? It's like where they've had that criticism and they're like, oh, I don't like that. You know, that's don't really know how to react to that. And their performances have dipped because of it. But whereas other players in the past we've had, I think they've rose to the occasion a bit like a kind of, oh, yeah, do you think that about me? Well, I'm going to show you. That's the way it feels like to me with certain players we've had in the past, for certain.
I mean, I know we conceded four against them, but where the fuck's the team that scored three past Southampton?
Three
good goals as well. Good goals. They weren't like scrappy tappings. Like, these were good goals we scored. Like, where's that gone?
It's the inconsistency of a relegation side, isn't it?
It's just... I mean, what do you do? What do you do on Saturday? We've got Watford don't technically have a manager. They've got Tom Cleverley at present. Stepping in, I think it's probably his first game as a manager. There is no way on God's green earth we have to allow Tom Cleverley to win his first ever game as a manager at St. Andrews. I'm telling you now, I can't deal with it. I don't know what team's going to start. I'd severely, severely hope that Eustace had some idea in his head when he gave Sanderson club captain, because that man needs to pull his fucking socks up now he's back and pull some shit together, because there is no leadership on that team at the minute. We need someone to be a fucking leader. Someone to be aggressive, win headers, send it forward. That's my pet peeve in this football team. Stop letting the ball bounce. Pisses me off. The goal kick comes, the ball bounces, and I was just stood there watching the ball bounce. Head the ball forward. Oh, John's been saying.
Apparently, John says in the chat here that Cleverley was there last night watching the Blues. Interesting. Yeah, he's probably getting a bit of pre-game stuff in, to be fair to him. Let's have a quick read of the comments, see what people are saying. Ruddy as well. The guy here saying, when Ruddy got jeered with his kicking in front of the cop, he was mouthing shit back at them. Could see from the main stand. Wish I could lip read. There's been a few rumours circulating about Ruddy having a bit of a pop at the fans. Obviously, I don't know what the fans have shouted at him, but his kicking was pretty abysmal last night, to be fair. Although I don't think he'd had a bad game or anything. I think he was, just...
He's arguably one of our better players last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know who I would say was pretty good last night. Maybe Pake at a push, but I don't know.
Buchanan was more man of the match because he started in centre-half, and to be fair, everything he had his way, he dealt with.
Yeah, that is true.
And he dealt with fine. And you know what? To be fair, for his size, he wins headers.
Yeah, he's a quality defender on his day, do you know what I mean? I think that's the same for a lot of them. I just don't think that this environment they're used to be honest, and particularly some of the younger ones, like Jordan James, who I didn't think played particularly bad last night. He put a couple of bad passes in and was a little bit out of position, but there again, he's still a young kid, and also he probably hasn't been, I don't know. I really don't know, that's the thing, because like, I'm looking at this team on paper and thinking, how are we losing by such a convincing margin? Do you know what I mean? It's not like we're even in contention. Like, at no point last night did I think, oh, we're going to score. Even when Duke came on, I thought, I just can't see it. I don't see where Duke's going to have the opportunities given to him. Or if God forbid, that he actually managed to, you know, wrestle half of the team off of him and then run through and put it in the back of the net. I mean, that's more possible than somebody giving him a good cross, that's for sure.
That's just, that. There's no ability to whip the ball in at the minute. But in all fairness, when you start in Stansfield, and it's nothing against Stansfield, I like Stansfield, but he's not tall. Last night, we got the ball down the wing so many times, and then you look at your attacking players, and you're like, right, so you've got Jordan James at the back post, who's not tall, Jay Stansfield, Koji fucking Miyoshi, and Pritchard, who have a combined height of Djukovic. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, where's the aerial threat coming from? We have zero height in this team as well. Every set piece last night, I was watching the tech corner going, I'm going to fucking score. We're tiny.
Yeah, that is true.
Got Cirielta. He's going to have a field day against us in corner kicks on Saturday. Field day.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm more surprised that, well, obviously we did lose to a corner in the Millwall game, but I don't know. It was surprising that we didn't concede more that game in hindsight. And that's why I was saying that people were saying on the Millwall game for my match reaction, saying that I thought we didn't play that badly against Millwall. And some people were saying, no, we played absolutely terribly. Last night, that was bad. Like there was nothing good about it. That was
We were poor. Better at Millwall. At Millwall, we created stuff. Yeah. We got around the box. We knocked it about. Last night, there was one or two times where Paige went for about three people, a couple of step overs, flipped it through to the one on the edge of the box, and everyone was scared to shoot. Just no ability to shoot.
And when we did take chances on, they'd just fly over the bar or a wide or anything. Like no shots on target again. It's unacceptable at this stage in the season, you know, with the fact that we don't take enough shots on anyway, it's just as frustrating. But like we've had a whole season of where we've just been delaying and then not pulling the trigger. I mean, like Leicester's the perfect example of that, and it just shows that we've gone from nearly beating Leicester, and fair enough, we didn't score any goals and we really should have that day, to the point now we're not even taking on shots. We literally can't even hit the target. You know, it's like we're dropping, and that's where I worry for this team. You know, a team that doesn't look comfortable in the relegation battle. Other teams around us are starting to win. Sheffield Wednesday, I mean, I think they're going to stay up, you know. I genuinely do think that.
I called it back in January. I said, when I was on the Sheffield Wednesday podcast, I said, lad, I think you can pull results out your arse, you know. And he was like, nah, we're gone. And everyone formed the bounce. And I was like, right. It's literally gone from the point of, one team's going to go down because Wednesday are gone and Rotherham are gone, and now we're like, fuck, two teams are going down and we're there.
I know, yeah. Because the thing is with Sheffield Wednesday, personally, I think that they've sort of saved their energy till the end of the season, if that makes sense, because they haven't had the greatest season at all. But it's almost like they've found the energy to keep up, to stay up, isn't it? You know, where we, I mean, like Andy, this guy in the comments saying that it's 2011 all over again. And there's so many similarities with it because, like, we've had like a really good year, but with no cup win. It's the dying momentum, you know. And the games in towards the end of that season were like just fading, and we drew with Wolves, we lost to Fulham, we were who did we lose away to? And that was a big defeat as well. It was one of those teams.
Newcastle 2-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one of those ones we should have definitely won. There was three games I remember that we definitely should have won. And then when he got to the last game of the season against Tottenham, it was so. It's going to take a miracle to win that one, you know, and it's very similar to this season for many reasons, because we've had like a point where you're thinking, okay, we're going to be all right. You know, we've had Rooney and everything, but we've got Mowbray now. It's going to be fine. And we've just gone, like, we took the foot right off the gas here. And it's just like, what's going on? You know, players can't even string a pass together. And there's a few people saying that in the comments and everything, but I can't believe how much worse we're getting. You know, I thought we'd be a little bit better than this, but we're getting even worse.
99% convinced the universe hates Birmingham City at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
We get Tony Mowbray in, a quality championship manager, and then he goes, oh, he's had a checkup. Oh, he's gone for 8 weeks. Have his assistant, who's never managed a team before. And he's like, right, okay, brilliant.
Great. I mean, we'll want Tony to get better and everything. And if it means stepping out for a couple of weeks, then that doesn't, of course, his health comes first. But it just feels so typical, doesn't it? You know, we've got a good manager and a good feel around the club, and then he goes and gets ill. But, you know, it's just how life works, really. It's not really...
If there's anyone in that dressing room right now who understands what the fuck to do, it's Lukas Djukovic.
Oh, yeah.
If there's
I think he's still the only one who's from that relegation team, isn't he? Apart from Robert Speed, but then he wasn't in the first team.
Was Gary about then?
He's been in a few, but none in like an actual relegation battle where we've literally needed wins to stay up. I think it's only Duke, really.
That's what I mean, like, in terms of... And I know a lot of fans are like, yeah, but he's outdated, or he might be past it. But you know what? You tell me that we can't play any fucking worse than we did on Tuesday, and tell me that you don't just go balls to the wall and full send a 4-4-2 for fuck's sake. Give Stansfield some support up front, or... For the love of Christ, even start Hogan. I don't care anymore. Just give me two strikers up front and give me Duke so someone can aim at him. Because at the minute, every time Ruddy kicks that ball forward, we're fucking small and it's coming straight back at us. Like,
rather embarrassingly for us Blues fans, I think Scott Hogan might be a bit of an answer for us because he hasn't played in God knows how long, but he might be the type of player to be like, right, you think I'm still shit, do you? Right, I'm going to come and tell you like how to play football.
Is that a contract? He definitely wants to fucking prove himself to someone, if not us. If there's ever a time he wants to try and get anything out of his career still, you tell him, Scott, you've got 9 games. Go and show the world what you can do.
Yeah, we've got a comment here from Jason. Not picking you out in particular, mate, but I'm just interested to see what people's thoughts on this. He says, we'll be okay. We've got 9 games to sort it out. But I don't know. What do people in the chat think about that? Do we think, who do we think we're going to beat, more or less? Or see us beating, really? Because I've got to be honest with you guys, I can't see us winning, particularly in the way we're playing at the moment, really. I mean, a lot of people are saying that we should be getting other players back into the team. But that's the thing, like, there's no... I think everybody's kind of just lost with it all, really, because, yeah, it's like Keshi Anderson has not been in the team for ages, you know.
I know he Sanderson doesn't score still... and he doesn't get assists, but Keshi Grass is the number one. He works his bollocks off.
Yeah.
Need wingers.
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to touch on, actually. The thing is, what we need, we need players to go back into their natural positions. Enough of playing players in different positions. And also, I don't know how many times I've said this season, but I'm going to really start losing my patience with it. Stop playing possession-based football. We can't fucking do it. Why don't we just play counter-attacking football like the vast majority of the individuals can do in this team? Sarigi Dembele, stop playing him through the middle. Jordan James, playing through the centre. Stansfield is a striker, not a winger. Lee Buchanan's a left-back, not a centre-back. And I know we've got defenders out at the moment, but why can we not just see the blatant obvious and see the fact that Ivan Sunjic can't string a pass together, but neither can anybody else in the team? You know, we need to play counter-attacking football, a 4-2-3-1, play Dembele on the left and maybe Anderson on the right, you know, and play players in their natural positions, you know, put Miyoshi through the middle, have two proper central defensive midfielders and start grafting away, you know, get some... If the players genuinely do want the support from us, because it might suddenly miraculously change the result through us just shouting at them, then, you know, why don't they just put in like a challenge that's going to absolutely get the crowd up? Yeah. We're a fan base that are built off players who go smacking through the back of players and getting the crowd up on their feet about it. We are that team. We still love that as well. We, you know, like I was born in 2002. But obviously, from 2006 onwards, really, those are the type of teams I remember. But you still hear about all the other players we've had in the past. I mean, my dad always used to talk about Kenny Burns and those type of players who were like proper man mountains, really, who would just get stuck in and get fucking up with it. So it's just like, where's all that gone? It's just, we're not that team, and we won't win games as this team either, as we clearly have shown, by only winning 10 games this season. And half of those results have come from us playing counter-attacking football.
Just put some effort in. As of last night, people were strolling across the pitch, and I'm like, please, for the love of Christ, run. You know what? He's shit at football. Ivan Sunjic is not a good footballer. I will say it. I don't care. But you know what? He gets a reaction out of us because he fucking slams someone. He'll go in and he'll crunch someone in half and get the ball. And you go, you know what? You're not a good footballer, but you give every... That badge means something. Always when does, you have that fucking shirt on. When you have that shirt on, Djukovic, it means something when Duke has that shirt on. Yeah. Give me 11 people who give a shit about this football club wearing them that fucking shirt right now. Because last night, I said at least 8 of them looked like they couldn't be fucking arsed. Last night, they looked like it was a game where they knew it was a free hit. They knew it was the game and they didn't give a fuck. That's how it looked.
Yeah, this is the thing.
For Paik.
Yeah, he looks lost to me. He doesn't look like he has a position.
Did Pate get the ball in the middle of the park, pass it out, and then instantly the first thing they do is first touch back to him, and he's literally looking at him like, well, what the fuck do you want me to do with it?
Yeah.
He's gone, have it out wide. Oh, it's back to me. Right. What do I do now?
Yeah.
We can't play possession-based football yet. We haven't got the team yet. Fuck this season up. Get through this season. Play shithouse Route 1 football. Don't give a shit. Keep us in the league and then do whatever possession-based attacking football you want to build into. Fantastic. But right now, we are not going to do possession-based bullshit football in League One. It's not happening. Not a chance. Am I going to Walsall away, watch us play tick-attacker football?
Yeah, fuck that. Yeah. You're spot on with that, 100%. Because that's what fans will, the fans, someone earlier was saying it, wasn't it, about the losing a generation of fans. Like, we've already lost a generation of fans from being in the Championship for fucking 13 years. We ain't ever getting another generation of fans if we're playing in League One with that shit. You know, no one's going and watching that. People want to see, particularly if you're Blues and you've got Blues relatives, you know, you want to see proper getting stuck into type of players. You know, we're not like that. We're not like that as a culture. It's kind of disrespectful to us as fans in a way, because it's like, well, you know, it's, where's what we want? You know, it's like, fair enough. You know, you've got all these different ideas for how you want the team to play. And yes, it's good. It's ambitious and everything. Like, and I know the open house that's coming up. I think it's April now, I think, which might be a bit of a, particularly if we're still in this mess. But they're going to be talking about ambition. But I don't know whether fans will be up for this idea of playing possession-based football ambition, really. I think they want to stick to what we're doing.
Ambition, fuck ambition. The questions are going to be flying. If we're in this predicament, the questions are going to be solely based on what's your fucking plan for League One then, mate?
Yeah.
Because you've done this.
Mm. Unfortunately. And I don't want to, I don't want to bash at some of the owners, and I definitely don't want to bash at Gary Cook either, because I know he fucked up on the Rooney thing, and it's all
he was only in charge for 15 fucking games. There's still 31 games in a season.
Yeah.
Like, we've had without Wayne Rooney. Like, this is, don't get me wrong, it was shit and it wasn't good, but at the same time, it happened and we have to move on with it, and it's done now. Like, I'm not blaming Gary Cook. I'm not blaming I am blaming the owners a little bit. I've lost my own words because my head's gone that much. What I'm trying to articulate and say here is we just need answers, and we need, my fear is if we go down, they fuck off. And that is the fear. They openly said last time, we got the takeover because we stayed in the Championship. Are they going to piss off because we've gone down? And if they piss off, this whole last 12 months was for fuck all.
Yeah. They are. They're hedge fund investors, though, aren't they? So if they don't get a return on the things they want, then they'll leave. You know, it's as simple as that. You know, it's nothing that they won't do. You know, they invest in struggling businesses, but they invest so that they can get a return from it after they've built them up to the Premier League, you know, like as we are, as a football team, as we are. But it's just like, you know, there's a comment here actually from MZ King. I can't pronounce the first bit. He says a controversial opinion here, but maybe Rooney was right. The players are bad for this style of football. I mean, I completely agree with that. I do, but I don't want this style of football. As a fan and as somebody who's a, let's be honest, a keen investor into this football club, as a, you know, as a business way of looking at it, I don't want that, you know, and I don't want to see people, you know, playing around whilst we're a goal down with literally 30 seconds left of the game. It's like, that's not what I want, you know, like I said, as a keen investor into a football club.
Just go back to being a horrible fucking team.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Under Eustace, that first season, we finished 17th, didn't we? Great. People whinged about it. But you know what? We were horrible to play against, and we need
that
in our system again. We need to just be a horrible team.
Yeah. I still think we can be a tricky team.
And that's fine. And we can be. And I believe we can be. I'm not opposed to possession-based attacking football if you have the right fucking footballers for it. Mm. But we don't. We clearly do not have possession-based footballers. We have Route 1 counter-attacking dog footballers. Tariq Dembélé played well. Blackburn away when he scored 2 goals. Why? Because he had a 6'2" shithouse up front who did all the dog work and flicked it onto him. What's the common theme here? Counter-attack. We score, I'd say probably 70% of our goals have come via a counter-attack this season.
Yeah. It's absolutely true.
Someone's going to stop having me there and prove me to make me look an absolute dickhead.
No, I think it's true. I think it is, because most of Jay Stansfield's goals have come from on the break. You know, I can't remember one that isn't on the break, actually. Can't really. That's the thing. Like, Dembele's, most of his goals have been on the break. Stansfield's goals have mostly been on the break. James, you could argue, has mostly been in around the box, but that just shows that he's that type of, you know, break up the type of play, sort of box-to-box midfielder at times. You know, it just seems so simple. And yet we're still trying to stick to this style of play, which just doesn't... Yeah, like people are saying, I actually think counters are more exciting. Now, everybody says it in the chat. Everybody says it in the chat. You know, like, we don't want this style of football. Why is it up to the owners to decide what type of football it is? You know, it's down to the fans, really, you know. And if particularly we're in a relegation battle after all of this, you know, Rooney, all the investment into these type of possession, well, investment's probably the wrong word, but trying to stick to it whilst we're still sliding and sliding and sliding. We're getting worse as well. Maybe it's just time to just go, you know, fuck that. Just get back to playing how we are. You know, it's, I get it. Like, the club want to be a progressive club, you know. They want to play better, expansive football, and that's all great. We are not there, though. You know, we need that stability. You know, we need a couple of seasons where we're playing hard to beat. We're making St Andrews a fortress. We're playing on the break. We're playing to our individual players' abilities and then making it better as a team for them to gel, rather than playing the style of football that very few of them can play. And even the ones that can slightly play it, it's just not, it doesn't work as a team, because, you know, if Pate can play good possession-based football, he's not in a good possession-based football team. You know, he can play good possession-based football if you give it to him, but then the other players can do other things, you know, like Dembele can get on the break, Miyoshi can dribble past players and everything, James can get back and forward and help out the defence in the attack.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Attack. Ethan Laird can get on the attack. I mean, like, how many chances did we have down the line anyway last night? All of it was mostly just get to a certain point in the pitch, play it back and then through the middle and then lose it. It's like, why don't we just keep on going down the line, get the ball further down the line with a pass, pass further even down the line, get closer into the box, have a chance on goal. I don't get it. I don't see how this is so difficult to implement, if that makes sense. We might still lose games, but I just...
Do they want us to give them a roar and applaud them? Give me 100%. That's all any Birmingham fan wants. If we play Watford on Saturday and we lose 1-0, but you can see that every player has run their soul out and it's been good and we've gave it a go, they'll still get it. They'll still get, you know what, lads, you gave it. You gave a go. Because last night, there was, I'd say, zero effort, it felt like.
Yeah.
And what the fuck is Venus on about saying we worked hard? I don't... Where?
I don't know.
I might be reading it wrong. I might have just been so pissed off with how bad it was last night. And maybe there was a lot of effort and no end product, but... Fuck me, like... We made them comfortable. That is the most comfortable a team has been at St Andrews in years. I said this, we've lost that. We've lost Fortress St Andrews. We've lost that ability. Like, teams used to fear coming to our ground. Last night, I said before the game, but last night, Borough had come to this game thinking, we'll fucking win it. We'll do these. This is shit.
Yeah.
That's horrible. It's a horrible feeling to have knowing that teams are coming here going, these are shies.
Even in relegation battles we've had in previous seasons, we still made St Andrews a fortress. Like, our home and away record this season, I mean, our home record's probably average compared to our away record. We always do pretty shit away. I'll have a quick look at it now. But like, I just... our home record, where are we? We're 13th. We've won... Oh, it doesn't say, actually. I need to expand that tab. We've won 7 games at home all season. Away, we've only won 3.
That makes us 3 different managers, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you break down how many managers have gotten wins, I think it's 2 for Rooney, 2 for Mowbray, and then 5 for Eustace. Don't ask me maths questions. I'm terrible at maths. It's just we're absolutely all over the place and we're getting worse. I mean, people are just saying the exact same things as I'm saying, but I'll just reiterate. Get Juki on a 4-4-2 with Stansfield and wingers. We will compete at least then. It's just not going to happen. As I've just reiterated, I can't understand why managers or the board won't implement it or at least give it a go. St Andrews is a ghost now. No effort whatsoever. Stoke at home on Boxing Day was worse than Borough. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, and also Boxing Day it's more of a easier game to get to, I suppose. Like March on a Tuesday night, that's just horrible to go to anyway. But and also the fact we didn't score, even didn't look like scoring. I think there was often moments in that Stoke game where we did have chances. But I get what you mean completely.
There's another one we're on about wingers. Speaking of Stoke, fucking Ramel Donovan.
Yeah, he did make an appearance in that game.
He got the assist, didn't he? He was the one that spun like 3 players. And I know he's lightweight and I know he's tiny, but if you want genuine wingers, you've got Ramel Donovan. It seems to be in the abyss. Gone. Yeah. Vanished from the face of the earth. Like, Keshi. I know Sariki's got an injury now, but Keshi can play out there. Like, Christ a lot, I am telling you now, though, if I see Ollie Burke anywhere near the 11th for this year, I will just lose it. I'm done.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He could be the saviour, though, as well. You never know. It could be so blues for him to just shit out some 1-0.
His first goal is a one to keep us up after he's come off his arse or something. Fucking
hell. Tries to Rabona and he just hits it bottom corner by accident. You're like, great.
Oh, Christ's sake.
We just need something. We've lost everything. There's no ability from set pieces either, but this pisses me off. A few seasons ago, and I know a few seasons ago, even last season when you played Sanderson, Roberts, Vukovic, Beatnik, you had 4 big boys in the box.
Yeah.
You were an aerial threat from both set pieces because I don't, apart from Bakker's free kicks, who I love Bakker, incredible, but have we scored from a corner kick this year?
I think he's terrible at corners, to be fair, though.
Bakuna. But have we scored an actual header from a corner at all this season?
No, I don't think so. I know
Koji scored 1 at Bristol away when he volleyed it off the second ball, but I mean, I don't.
Yeah, not from a direct corner.
Shithousing it in the box and heading it in.
I think so.
Like, that's a big, big thing for football teams. That's massive in the Championship, especially in a dogfight. It's just centre half. Someone else to score the fucking goals, for God's sake. Beatnik is 6'4" and he rarely scores, and it infuriates me because he should be scoring a lot of headers for his size.
Yeah.
George Cooper, you give me Millwall's George Cooper, I will cry myself to sleep because I love that man, because he is exactly what we need right now. He's a 6'6" absolute unit at the back, because we don't have that, and the unit we have is probably injured at the minute and can't play football anyway.
Yeah, it's, well, we're going to keep on going over things, but yeah, to me, it's very simple. It's a very simple approach. Whether we get a simplistic outcome of it, I don't know, because nobody can predict football. But I just don't think whoever's calling the shots is willing for us to go back to this anti-football style of play, really. But I'm sorry to say this, but it doesn't matter what you think at this time of the season. We need results. And whatever way this person who's calling the shots and putting the team out every week and deciding what style of football we play, it's time to get to work, you know. And we should have been doing that a long time ago, because whether we've packed it in on a game in hand or whatever, it doesn't matter, you know. The performances have been absolutely dross, honestly. It's so embarrassing to see, really. And I think what was worse was at half time, I was flicking through Twitter with my brother. Just looking at how many people from Borough side were saying how poor we were. I mean, that's a team that we've only played once this season. We've had a completely different manager since then. And they still look at us and think, awful, you know, terrible. I'm going to keep on frustrating myself. Let's have a quick flick through some of the comments. Sam says route one football is needed. Getting in the box, we don't have the quality to play the squad, to play the type of football we want. Also, a possible unpopular opinion. Initially, I thought Pate looked a real player. Starting to notice he's giving the ball away cheaply and makes questionable decisions. It's hard to say if anybody's noticeable performances last night, because everybody was absolutely shocking.
I think that's a mix of the players, though, as well, unfortunately. I think we called it, you remember our last night at Millwall when we were watching the Millwall game, about it. Pate spits at the ball in the middle of the park and he's looking around and no one's moving for him.
You're
only as good as the team around you, unfortunately. I mean, right now, Jude would probably look bang average in this team at present, because we are like, do you know what I mean, though? Like, I don't think anyone could walk into this team and like do anything at present if with the other 10 players on the pitch, because it is woeful.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt saying we've got no height or size in that team. They're all tall, all short and skinny. Get bullied week in, week out. Jesse says I'd play three at the drop and drop Iru. Don't rate him at all. Whenever we lose the ball, it's Iru and Roberts. The duo don't work. Just dominate the mid with the amount we have. Deja vu, and it looks like we need another Bowyer effect. Good point, actually, from Toby there. It's not everyone that can't play on the front foot and take the ball under pressure. It's set players like Ruddy, Sanderson, Sunjic. Some players are more of a luxury, Dembele and Miyoshi start same time. Confidence is shot and nerves have been taken over, as we've had none of the battling type of player. I agree with that, Gary, actually. That's a good point. And obviously, Susan saying, don't understand why we got rid of Kevin Long.
Do you know who would have been a really good fucking battler right now? Kevin Long would have been really helpful right now, actually. I would hold a lot of questions to Kevin Long's transfer out. I want answers on that one instantly. Did he want to go? Was he told he's not going to get game time? Because Christ alive, I'll tell you now, we would have had at least a point or two more if we got Kevin Long. We don't concede four against Southampton if you have Kevin Long at the back. I don't care what anyone says. Tell me I'm wrong if you want, but
yeah,
I will die on that hill.
I mean, Tom in the chat saying, do you keep Venus or bring someone like Gary Rowett in for the last 9 games?
Bring him in now. I'm sorry, but no. Just tell Tony Mowbray, you know, you're back in the summer. It is 100% your job, because you are the man. And I believe, you know, the games that we had Mowbray before he got ill, you could see it. You could see the passion that this man has for this club, or his ability on the pitch, and he wants it. But right now, we need someone to steady the ship. Neil Warnock's left with Aberdeen, and Gary Rowett said last night on Sky. I know people will go, oh, it's backwards and we're going back in time. You know what? Go back in time, because you know what? Rowett kept us stable. Mm. And Warnock, renownedly, will shit out us to 1-0 victories. And true. I'm all for it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think the thing is, with like that sort of backwards thinking argument, it's fair enough and it's a completely logistical argument. But also at the same time, you know, we're heading forward into the future, getting relegated is going backwards, isn't it? So if he comes in and keeps
the ultimate backwards stack.
Yeah, of course, some people will say interim managers, like Wayne said, it's complete chaos if we get an interim manager in. I agree. I see both arguments already. I get it, really. But also at the same time, then what happens if we're 2 games left and, you know, we still can't find a way back or anything? It would also give, you know, Mowbray a little bit more time to reset and everything and come straight back, rather than coming straight back in. But yeah, it's all up for debate, to be honest. It's all carnage, to be quite honest. I mean, it's honestly...
Well, if they're going to do that, it's going to be after Watford. They're not going to do it now. They've got a week international break in between. That's when they're going to probably end up. If they do any move, it's going to be then.
Yeah.
The issue is we need a result against Watford. We need something against Watford. And we cannot lose another game. I mean, even a point pisses me off, but a point is better than no points at this present second.
We've got to look at the end of this. Well, it's 9 games to the end of the season. We've got to look at this as now we can't lose until the end of the season, basically. Because if we do, then it's completely out of our hands. And particularly if we lose at the weekend and Huddersfield win, we've got our backs to the wall, and that's a really difficult position to take up, because we're not great at that. You know, in the seasons where we have been in relegation battles, we've had the we've kept all the cards, you know, against Bristol City on the last day of the 2016-17 season. You know, we were technically outside the bottom three. We won and we stayed up. And then the same for the last game against Fulham in the season after. You know, we had all the cards. You know, we were above, I think it was Burton and whoever else it was at the time. So, you know, we were in control. We don't want to be going into the last game of the season like we did against Bolton, where we had to get a point and hope that Doncaster lost to Leicester. And that was right down to the line as well. So it might end up like that. But also, if we keep on losing, we might already be cut adrift before we can even get to Norwich, you know. And whilst at the moment it's still 9 games and we're only halfway through March, time goes quickly. And by fucking up results like that last night, it don't give anybody any chance of, you know, believing that we're going to stay up, you know. Because if we got something against Millwall and we got something against Middlesbrough last night, we'd have been in and around it, but we wouldn't have been anywhere near this way of thinking, you know, because I just look at Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday, and yes, Huddersfield got smacked by West Brom in the end, and Sheffield Wednesday, I think they lost recently, didn't they? Or was it?
Yes, in Leeds.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, we can't rely on that, you know, we need to start winning, and I just can't see us winning against these teams, not by performances like that.
The annoying thing is, yet again, it's in our hands, and it's the complete bottle job that we have on the 11 is the issue. We still have Huddersfield, Rotherham, and QPR away to play. The teams around us, I know it's away from home, just avoid defeat for the love of Christ. We cannot afford to lose any of them three, especially. If you're giving 3 points to the teams around us, it might as well just bin us now the coffin now, because it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
Preston, we've still got to play at home. Watford, we've still got to play at home. You know, like, there's still some home. Cardiff's a tricky one at home. I mean, the only game I'm willing to go, probably going to get slapped. We've still got Leicester to deal with.
Yeah, but typical Blues will probably win that one.
Oh, imagine
that is the one we'll probably win, and the one we'll probably lose is Rotherham, because they'll probably already be down. But then they probably will be, and then that'll probably be the only game they win till the end of the season. That's just it's kind of the way I see it going. Really, it's pathetic when we think of how badly we've been at points this season. And I thought. I thought when that Leeds game happened, we won in the last minute. I thought, here we are, brand new Blues we are. We're going to be a different side from here on out. We're going to be competing. We're going to have meaning back in the team. We're going to be properly battling away, bringing the atmosphere back. The fans are going to start coming back. The generation that was missed out are now going to start returning. And the generations before that are also going to keep on coming. You know, it's just been a disaster ever since Rooney came in, and then players and fans started to bugger off again, you know, because they couldn't be arsed with it all. And they, you know, that Rooney wasn't going to get the players, and the players weren't going to get Rooney, and that whole thing just fell apart. And then Mowbray's come in, and then the players are just not up for it in whatever way it is. I'm sure Mowbray's getting them, but you just can't keep them motivated to keep on going, because they probably burnt all their energy out trying to save Rooney's arse. And the fans are like, well, we're not made of money as fans, you know what I mean? It's like we decide to come to these games that we can afford to go to. You know, I do a YouTube channel and I'm a vlogger and everything. I don't get paid very much, though. You got to be honest. It's like I can't go to every single game. I can't spend hundreds of pounds on travelling to North London or wherever QPR is, south, that sort of area. You know, there and back and everything, and tickets that are gradually getting more expensive, and then food and drink on the way down, and then all that other shit as well, you know. It's just like, it's an expensive hobby, you know. And if the players want to, you know, get on our back and everything and say, you know, well, we need more atmosphere. Well, we need more wins. Can't we have a bit of a exchange here? If you're pressing on to get a winner, damn right we're going to be behind you. But if you can't even pass a simple ball or, you know, get anything close to a goal, well, I'm just not going to be interested. And if in reality, really, I'm going to stop coming, because most people would, you know. And like I said, it costs hundreds of pounds each week, you know, to go to each game. So it's, what can I do as a fan, you know? I'm the one just watching. The players on the pitch are the one that can do stuff.
We've gone from John Eustace, where we felt that connection to the players again for the first time in a very long time. Whereas now it feels like they just don't get it.
Yeah,
they don't know what it's feel. They don't know what it means at the minute, and this is what annoys me more than anything. This city loves this fucking club. And it is painful watching that every week at the minute because there is no drive, no effort, and no care. That's what it seems like. I could be saying very wrong things there, and maybe the players do care more than we realise, but act like it, for fuck's sake. Act like it.
Yeah.
Show me that you care. Exactly. You know, at this point, I'll take a dirty back five. Just give me a nasty... We had enough centre-back.
We'll try something, haven't we?
Fucking do a back five. Get Laird just bolting up and down the wing, because that's all he can do at the minute. Drama can run about for a bit. Whatever. Ali, feel it could be paramount coming back whenever he's back.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably end of March, isn't it?
Not that. Oh, just... We need something, and we need something now. We need a goal and a clean sheet. And let's be honest, in Blues terminology, you're probably going to get one or the other on Saturday because I don't see us winning 1-0. I don't trust this team to keep a clean sheet. I just don't. There is always a defensive frailty somewhere in this fucking team.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry,
this is the most negative I've ever been on here. Sorry. Just...
Sorry, I'm just doing something at the same time. There we go. I think everybody else is, to be quite honest. We will quickly do a Watford preview, as most of the chat's been about Middlesbrough tonight. We'll do that after a quick message from our sponsors, Voxy.
This video is brought to you by Voxy, the pay-as-you-go mobile network that gives you unlimited social media for as little as £10 a month. Sign up today using the link in the description to stop eating your data away while on the move. Voxy has got you covered with unlimited social media, video and music, all with 5G ready in every Voxy plan. And you'll also get a free £20 PayPal, Just Eat or Amazon voucher. So be sure to sign up today. Now, back to the video.
Thank you to Voxy for sponsoring yet another video. So let's get into the last bit of the podcast, Jamie. Watford, Saturday, big game. Big game for the season and the last eight games following that. Seven games following that, I think, actually. So, yeah, take us away, mate.
I'm too scared to predict anything right now. I'll just go out on my limb and say 2-1 Blues. I'm just going to hope to Jesus that there's 3 points in it. This is the new manager for them. I can't even say they've been shit. They're above us. Like, they've been, for Watford's standard, not good. And I'm hoping their confidence is demoralised. I'm hoping they're just as painful as us. And I'm just hoping that there's some kind of tactical switch up for this because we are too easy and predictable at the minute to watch. If you start a Duke or bring him on earlier, you've got every chance at the minute. But something's got to give and change here.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Be sure to get a few predictions into the chat, everybody. Mises says 3-1, Mowbray turns up on the bench. Josh says 6-5 Blues, 90th minute Duke hat-trick. A lot of people taking the piss, but I quite like it. I don't know. 2-2, says Matt. I think a draw would be at least one tiny step in the right direction. Of course, I always want to win. Yeah, exactly. I don't know whether a win would give us false hope or not, because Watford ain't the best side, and chances are QPR will be up for a game, won't they? That's the thing. Like, some people are saying that we are going to get beat in the chat, but I don't know. It depends what team we play, I think. I think if we play more players in their positions, I'll be more optimistic for it. But at the moment, I kind of agree with Blues will lose, really. 1-0 says Josh to Blues. Andy says 3-0 to Watford. 3-1 Watford to Sam. 0-0 says Gary. 2-2 says Jesse. McDonald's on the hill is closed for the Saturday. I think it was closed last night as well, actually. Yeah, I mean, I really don't know. That's the thing. And that's where I'm getting stuck with a lot of this now, is I'm thinking, well, if we can't even put a good performance in on the weeknights, you know, even somewhat acceptable, it wasn't even anywhere near that, then I can't even give you what I'm going to think about Saturday. You know, we've got the bigger fans, a bigger crowd back for Saturday, but is that going to make a difference, or is it just going to be another performance where we're going to be slow, lethargic, trying to get the fans back up on their feet despite the fact we're a goal down or worse, you know, and playing terrible football? is it going to be a repeat of Tuesday, basically? And I really don't want it to be. What did you say for a result, Jamie? Or did you say it?
2-1 Blues.
2-1 Blues. I don't know. I'm not confident. I really am not confident. Who do you reckon can score for us then? Based off recent performances.
Duke. The only one who looks like you've got half a sniff. I'd love a little bit more than a Pake absolute like thunderbolt from 25 or something. Or I just want to see someone have a shot as well. Just have a dig.
Yeah, no, it's one thing, yeah.
That is an Alex Pritchard shooting from fucking stupid positions, by the way. That isn't even a point I've got to last night. That pissed me off.
Mm.
There was one time in the first half where we broke in the box and he's on the right-hand side of the box and he's through and he's got two players. Like, he's just got to cut it back to one of them and he has a dig and Stansfield loses his shit. And I was like, I think that.
I remember it, yeah. I think...
about officials.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't great, but it's a completely irrelevant thing to even talk about because nothing would have mattered anyway if we had the chances.
We could have had we would have probably missed a pen last night, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not like the chances we had against Millwall, or the decisions we had against Millwall, I should say, actually, where we were in the game and we were looking up for it as well. So a penalty on last Saturday against Millwall would have been absolutely crucial for us and the referee. Fucking given it. It wasn't like that. Last night wouldn't have been the same though. If we'd got on a penalty, it would have been like, oh, don't really fancy us anyway. I don't know. I'll go 1-1. I've been saying 1-1 quite a lot lately, but also I think it's the only result we can feasibly manage, really. Everything else is just pathetic defeats, really. And that I always think 1-0 defeats are always relegation form. Because it's not teams who are constantly... If you're constantly getting thumped, and obviously you're already relegated like Rotherham are. But I think if you're on the slide where you are just losing each game by one goal, then it sort of just keeps on showing where you're going, and that's just further down the table. And I can't see us pinching a 1-0 win anywhere. I can't see us doing anything like that. So, yeah, I don't know. 1-1, that's what I'll go with. I think that was pretty much what we've got to say for this podcast. Very depressing one, I can't lie. Not one that we all really want to be talking about each week, to be honest. It's really nervy now for me, to be honest, because I pray to God that we are safe by the time it gets to the last four or five games of the seasons. I really do hope that, because I don't want to see us anywhere near a relegation battle. There was arguments in the crowd again last night. Obviously, there was fans having to go at Ruddy and vice versa. There was also fans fighting against Millwall on the Saturday as well. I think the fan base is very unstable at the moment, particularly because we were sold the dream that we were going to be fine this season as well. And we had the dream in our hands as well. So I think, it's one that a lot of Blues fans, whenever you get given false hope almost, and it probably wasn't false hope at the start of the season, it probably was genuine aspiration that we were getting. It was what's making more and more of us feel this way, and now because it's just like, well, I thought it was all going to be fine, and now we're in a worse position than we were last season. So we just need to stay up, because I don't know what's going to happen to us as a fan base if we do go down this season. And God forbid if the Villa win the fucking Conference League and stay and get in the top four as well, because that would be absolutely the worst season ever, honestly. Us get relegated and Villa win a fucking European Cup after God knows how many years. You know, it's just absolutely, it could be the worst season ever, really, to be honest. Just to finish off on the last few things, just a couple of roundup things maybe. Just play normal football. Get the ball for, do what the fans want, basically, because we watch the team week in, week out. We've been around for all of our lives watching this team. We can pull together some ideas. I know that the club are doing fantastic work still off the pitch, but this team matters to stay in the Championship. And if we don't, then we can't really push on with the plans that have been going. So, yes, we need the players need us. I know I was having a bit of a moan about that earlier, but also, you know, we still need the return. You know, it's a business at the end of the day. And as customers, if we're not getting what we want, I'd say a lot of people have the right to not come anymore. at the end of the day, we just need to win. And if we don't, we're going to get relegated. It's as simple as that. But roll on Watford. Hopefully we can get a win. Hopefully we can start to pull away from that bottom three, because we are much a better side and much a better club as well to be in this mess that we are in. And yeah, thank you everybody for watching. Thank you, Jamie, for joining me once again. It's been a pleasure as usual, mate. Sorry it's been a bit of a depressing one, but what can you do? You can only be sort of given what you've been given, really. And I can guarantee you, if we were towards the top of the table towards the end of this season, I would be absolutely buzzing. But it's not going that way at the moment, so I'm sure you're all feeling that way at home, but it just probably isn't very good to listen to on a Wednesday night. So apologies if that has been a bit depressing. But nonetheless, thank you for watching. And keep right on.
Come on.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.